So am I still waiting? Waiting a long time. Waiting for tonight. Oh. So, take a look.
Waiting, I am very, very excited about this. An unannounced return to the airwaves. Go ahead, Way, and give the people what they have been craving since January.
I don't know if you're mocking me or what, John. I don't know. I don't.
Wei Ting has returned to Live Audio Wrestling.
No. Well, you asked me if I wanted to do a sort of a review segment with you after the law, and I said, "Yeah, sure, let's do it." And that's what we're doing. This is not.
Well, you also you had some ground rules in terms of doing this segment. You said it had to deal with wrestling or mixed martial arts. You didn't want any of this unattached. As you put it.
I honestly think that, I don't know, for our audience, for the Laws audience, it should be somewhat related to Live Audio Wrestling. And
I gave you that. That's where I was willing to compromise to bring Wei Ting back. And Wei Ting, what have you been up to in the last 9 months since we last heard from you?
Oh, wow.
You've been busy. You've gone to Dubai.
Yeah.
Abu Dhabi.
Abu Dhabi. Which is not in the country of
Dubai. Dubai is a city, then.
Dubai is a city.
I thought it was a country.
And Abu Dhabi is a city. The country that they're both in is the United Arab Emirates. And I was there. I've been doing a lot of different things, John. But one thing I have not really been doing is watching pro wrestling.
Which is why we're not going to be talking about current stuff, Wei, because I realize that I have a very unhealthy videotape collection of pro wrestling. Mm-hmm. And we're going to use this time to review not just pay-per-views and old events, anything. Anything within the wrestling and mixed martial arts realm, We are more than willing to review. So first off the bat, for future editions of Ask Away,
if you want us
to review anything, if there's any stuff out there that you want John Pollock and Wei Ting's opinion on, please send us an email. Yeah. To either john@thefightnetwork.com or way@thefightnetwork.com.
way@thefightnetwork.com. W-A-I.
W-A-I at thefightnetwork.com.
Or Facebook.
Yeah, you can go to Facebook to ask away. Way is misspelt on the Facebook.
No, I changed it.
But changed it?
I changed it. I have the power to change it. But anyway, that has nothing to do with this. This is not ask away.
Basically, we are not expecting a ton of feedback, so chances are if you email us, we'll be reviewing it next week. But today, we're actually... This one was a little strange because we decided we were going to review a WWF breakdown from September of 1998 because it took place in Hamilton and we're approaching, well, by the time you're listening to us, we just passed the September WWE pay-per-view event in Canada. And that was our logic for tying it all in. However, I went home and I could not find this tape. I have since found it, so don't worry. But I had to go somewhere else and I went to the September 1997 event, and everyone knows that in September of 2001, a horrific event happened, and the WWF actually held an event 4 years prior in the month of September called Ground Zero.
That's right, WWF In Your House, Ground
this
Zero.
This was the 17th version of In Your House.
Presented by Stridex.
Which I have written down here. We now have sponsors like Pepsi Max and 7-Eleven. Back then, they had Stridex, Pimple Cream.
And what? IcoPro.
IcoPro. Now, one of the biggest annoyances I found back during this time period was the blimp that they would have inside the arena. I don't know if you caught it during the tape.
Yeah.
And for those of you out there who are so intrigued at the end of this review to go catch this event, you can actually watch the entire 3-hour pay-per-view on YouTube. It is broken up into 18 parts.
Yes. Go on YouTube. Watch. I don't know why you'd want to, but...
Okay,
yeah.
Well, let's get into this. Let's review the September...
Well, first of all, before we get into this, you presented me with this tape yesterday. And not only that, we were working on The Surf, which is a show that John Pollock and I both work on with Jason Agnew on Thursdays. And on The Surf this week, we had Santino Marella.
Mm-hmm.
When Santino was there, a couple kids came into the studio just to meet him. I knew they were wrestling fans, so I decided to show them this VHS tape. First of all, I don't even know if they knew what a VHS was, but they saw the tape and they're like, "Oh, Stone Cold! Oh, this is Shawn Michaels when he was younger." And I asked these kids how old they were. They said they were born in the year 2000 and 1998. So
this depressed me greatly.
Oh yeah, John, we are old. We're 25, and like this 1997 pay per view didn't seem that long ago.
These kids would have been like 9 and 11.
No, right now. But they weren't even born.
They weren't even born when this event took place. The sad thing is, I remember when this event took place.
Yeah.
Holy shit,
we are old.
We're
man.
Old. Anyway, Ground Zero brought to you by Stridex. It started off with a match that made no sense. We had Brian Pillman. This was a month before he died. This would be his final pay-per-view appearance. Mm. Taking on Dustin Rhodes, a.k.a. Goldust. Now, the storyline, as I followed it on this tape, was that Brian Pillman told Dustin Rhodes that your 3-year-old daughter is my love child. And Dustin apparently was offended by this.
Obviously,
he's not the father of your baby. You would be aware of this, wouldn't you?
No, how would you know that?
Well, Goldust responded the only way any rational man would. He said, fuck you. You're going to leave this company. And if I can't get you to leave this company, I'm going to put my wife up on the line. And if I happen to lose, you can have her for a month.
For 30 days.
What man would agree to this?
Well, what I want to know is, why would the WWF sanction this bout? You can put up a man's career against another man's wife against her will?
This didn't make sense. And Vince McMahon, who was doing commentary during this with Jerry Lawler and Jim Ross, had the best line of the entire match when he just openly asked, what could this do to their marriage?
Oh, God. I loved it when Jay Ross at the end said, this poor baby. The poor baby in this relationship. This baby doesn't have a mother for 30 days.
Jim Ross was trying to convey it like he was legitimately upset at this. This was Brian Pillman, first of all, atrocious in this match. He was obviously very limited by this point. He had the motorcycle accident, and this was a far cry from the worker he once was. Just watching him, like, this guy was clearly getting by on his character, facials, because he could not move. Yeah. It was painful to watch this match. You know, we always look back at WCW during this time period where they had the awesome undercards and then, you know, shitty main event. It was the opposite at WWF at the time because this undercard was horrible and then you got the good stuff at the top. So it was really, you know, both promotions were kind of working in opposite of one another.
Well, this definitely, in terms of in-ring action, definitely pales in comparison to some of the better like cruiserweight matches and better undercard matches we've seen. I have to say the crowd was pretty hot throughout the whole thing.
Very hot crowd. Yeah. This was in Louisville, Kentucky.
I think they really...
Inside of a gymnasium, it looked like.
And I think they really, really cared about this storyline.
Somehow they apparently did. The finish came when Marlena, Terry Runnels, got onto the apron with her gold purse, and she went to hit Brian. Brian intercepted the purse and hit Goldust with it and pinned him, and then it was revealed that there was a brick inside of the purse. And thus, Brian Pillman won the ownership of Marlena for 30 days. And I even have it written down here, JR, this baby doesn't have a mom for 30 days. So clearly me and Wei were amused by this. We then cut to the back where Brian forced her into a car, drove off, and we go back to the commentators where Jerry Lawler is laughing at this woman who we are to believe is being taken to a hotel to be raped.
Pretty much.
And this would be a theme
Hilarious.
Throughout the night.
This
was funny to Jerry Lawler, and this was a storyline being presented at the time, even though the WWF said we never will do murder, rape, or
the thing
vandalism.
Yeah.
Those were always the no-nos.
But they'll do necrophilia. They'll do, I don't know. Anyway, what surprised me was, I remember this being 1997, but I guess I didn't really realize how... this was really the beginning of the Attitude Era, wasn't it, when they started to make the storylines
like
a lot?
Fall of 97. So this was right around when Vince Russo was getting into power with the company, and they were making that big shift.
And they were breaking kayfabe. They were calling Dustin Rhodes by his real name. They were starting to refer to Vince McMahon as the boss.
There were a lot of subtle hints throughout the show about Vince McMahon being more than just a play-by-play announcer. Mm-hmm. We go to the next match. Brian Christopher against Scott Putski. Scott Putski by far the most ridiculous excuse for a drug-free environment. This guy looked insane. I don't know if I've ever seen a wrestler other than maybe the Ultimate Warrior at his peak, look like this?
Well, when I first saw this guy walk into the ring, first of all, I was like, who is this? Who is Scott Poitsky? Then I thought it was Lex Luger. He looks just like Lex Luger, but with like brown hair.
I wrote Putski, pre-Wellness era.
Oh, yeah,
for sure. He was the son of Ivan Putski, and my God, this guy, I said to myself as this match started, this guy is going to tear something. And then the match ended.
Did he really? Oh, wait, anyway, talk about the match.
We'll get to the finish in a minute. Vince McMahon stated, Scott Putski is really put together. And then I just went right to the finish because this this was a time.
I don't think we mentioned he's wrestling Brian Christopher.
Yeah, he's wrestling Brian Christopher, who the whole gag at this point was whether he was Jerry Lawler's kid. They were chanting Jerry's kid at him. Lawler had a good line saying, no, they're chanting about the Jerry Lewis telethon from this past weekend. Like, that's kind of funny. Brian Christopher was actually, a good worker once upon a time. He's since gone very much downhill in his career. But at this point, he was still had his weight under control and could still move. Scott Putski was just completely useless. This guy was hired because of his look, and he was a second-generation wrestler, but just horrible. And should we go right to the finish?
Was there anything notable
during this match, Wade? Because I thought it was
match. What really stood out to me was how much I miss the old Jerry Lawler when he was able to play as a heel. He was hilarious, and occasionally the camera would cut to his a shot of him next to McMahon, and like just even his facial features. The guy's just a great entertainer, and I don't know why the WWE no longer uses him in that role.
Nope, not really. And that was something I did note throughout this. To me, it was also I wanted to hear more of Jim Ross. He kind of just seemed like odd man out on the broadcast booth.
Yeah.
The finish came. Brian Christopher took, I wrote Putz the Klutz here. I was very tired at this point when I read
Klutz
this, or wrote this. And he tossed him through the middle rope to the outside, landed on his feet, and blew out his knee.
Yeah.
Shocking. And then we saw a close-up where his patella had gone up his leg.
Was that legit?
It looked legit. I don't think he ever worked for the company after this.
Wow.
I think he went to WCW for a time after this, but really his career amounted to nothing, which is what this match amounted to.
Mm-hmm.
We then go to Sonny, who was doing the WWF Superstar Hotline at the time, and said that if you call in now for $1.99 a minute, she will let you know what is happening in Brian Pillman's car right now. This company had no shame. Yeah. We then go back to the commentators.
No, hold on. Before you do that, she does it. Not only says that, but she says in her phone sex voice, when Sonny's on the line, everything's too hot to handle.
We then cut to Vince McMahon, who, I swear to God, responded, thank you, Sable.
No, he didn't say that.
He did. I rewound it to double check.
Oh, my God.
Go. It's probably part three on YouTube.
No, put that clip up
right after this. Thank you, Sable. We then went to a video to hype up the upcoming three-way
faction action.
that's
what they call it.
This was every stereotype confirmed. We had the Puerto Rican gangster Savio Vega against the black militant Farouk versus the white racist motorcycle biker Crush.
Let me just say, these opening packages,
horrible.
Yeah, but hilarious. Like, if you guys do check it out, just watch this video. Because, like, this video, these are done in the style of, like, what it reminded me of was Maury Povich. You know, like, they have those episodes where, like, with problem children, just, like, music blaring in the background, and, like, kids saying, I do what I want. I don't care. And these were done in the exact same style.
There was a video right off the top to start the pay-per-view where they were talking, because the last pay-per-view, Shawn Michaels had hit The Undertaker with a chair, and they interview fans talking about it, and one of them was saying how they were disgusted with Shawn Michaels, and then the next one was like, I think Shawn Michaels did it on purpose. And I loved it. It was great. This video, it was campy to say the least.
Yeah. It was like the Warriors, but like a much campier version of the already campy Warriors.
I fast forwarded through the intros because there were three of them. They were all long.
But the Nation's music is awesome.
Is it? Was this still when they had the rappers, the white guys rapping for them?
No.
Remember The Nation at one point, they had a group of rappers. It used to be that team, PG-13.
I don't remember that. This was just as a constant loop. We are the Nation.
Of domination. Yeah, like this was on The Rock, was just
The Rock was
a
there.
Background figure.
Yeah.
This three-way was horrible. Savio Vega attempted a shake, rattle, and roll type of maneuver on Farouk, who could not have taken it worse. Yeah. This was just horrible.
It dragged. There were sloppy power moves. My favorite part, though, was when Farouk was walking out to the Nation's music. Then the camera cuts to a group of white dudes pumping their fists in the air. Doing the salute.
Oh, I shouldn't fast forward through entrances because you miss stuff like that. Savio Vega and Crush performed what was easily the worst spike pile driver in history onto Farouk. Yeah. Out of nowhere, Crush punched Farouk in the face. That was his finish.
No. It was the heart punch.
Oh, the heart punch. I don't understand it. Why is it so vicious? He punched him in the face. Why is it so bad?
He punched him in the heart.
I thought he punched him in the face.
No. This was probably the coolest move that I saw on the whole pay-per-view. I mean, they should bring this back.
The heart punch.
Why do you have
to put the hand on the back of your...
Just to emphasize the space there so that the guy can't block it. You hook the dude's elbow or arm around his head, and then you just punch him in the heart, and that's supposed to knock
you out. Well, he did this. He knocked out Farouk, and Vega hit Crush with a spinning heel kick. And Savio Vega of Los Boricuas was the winner in Action Faction.
Yeah, what I noticed about this was Brian Adams is dead, right?
He died. He passed. Okay.
But this was already the fourth incarnation of Crush in the WWE.
Yeah.
He started off in Demolition. Then he did the Kona Crush, the Hawaii thing.
Then he was the fanatic.
Evil.
Yeah, the evil Japanese crush. Sympathizer.
Yeah, and this is a fourth Crush.
Wow. There was another Crush after this, wasn't there? Or did he? Oh, he took off to WCW
Came back as Chronic. In Chronic.
Oh, that's right. It's Chronic. Who could forget?
He had quite the life.
There were some celebrities in the house, Way. They went to show the USA boxing team, and they gave these guys horrible seats. They were up in the fucking bleachers. What does it take to get a good seat at a 1997 WWF pay-per-view?
Yeah.
These guys, but they were huge marks for this company.
Were they really?
They were cheering, and they were. I wanted them to name some of them because the USA boxing team in 97, they're probably very well known now. I was looking for, Floyd or somebody in there.
They don't do legit athletes.
We then go to what I thought was the match of the night. El Torito against Max Mini.
Yeah.
This one was the first minute of this match. It blew away everything on the card up until
this point.
These
are minis, by the way.
Yeah. They can't say midgets.
No.
Minis.
Minis.
El Torito. I could be mistaken. I wonder, was this the guy that died recently?
I don't know.
In the hotel room? I want to look that up.
That's a good point. I don't know.
Because one of the guys that died in that hotel room did work briefly for the WWF. Could have been El Torito.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Max Mini was a very, very tiny man.
Yeah, 86 pounds?
Yeah. This was weird because they tried to work like a legit match, and then all of a sudden in the middle, they had to do this comedy with Jerry Lawler, and then they went right back to the match and the finish, and that was it. And it was strange.
Yeah.
Because we had the first minute, very, very solid stuff. And then, we went into where Max Mini, he kicked the ref, bit him in the ass, ran into Lawler's lap. And then all of a sudden we're transitioning and suddenly we get an Asahi moonsault to the outside by Max Mini.
Which was cool.
Very cool.
But it did drag at parts.
Yeah, there was a top rope Hurricane Rana.
Mm-hmm.
That was the false finish. And then it was an awkward sunset flip by Max Mini for the win. This was good. After watching the first three matches, this was a ray of sunshine for me.
Do you think the UFC will ever have a minis division?
You know what? There have been MMA cards with minis.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen them online.
No.
Yeah, minis having MMA fights.
Do they measure their height and length and weight?
I don't know how. I don't think it's commissioned states that are running these. I think it's the Alabamas of the world, the Louisville Kentuckys that might be running this.
Midget fights. I would love to see that. Oh, sorry, mini fights. I'd love to see that.
Very.
We'd get that on the Fight Network for
politically
sure.
Politically incorrect. I would absolutely want to run that.
Oh, yeah.
We then go to Sergeant Slaughter in the ring with Jim Ross. Dude Love comes out. And then Steve Austin came out. And Austin was so over during this show.
Mm-hmm.
He must have come out like three different times during this show and got a huge pop every time. And I guess it was creative's team to see how many times he could say ass in a promo. Wore a little thin. This was coming after Austin's 97 SummerSlam match with Owen Hart, where he injured his neck, and he had to vacate the tag titles with Dude Love. He called Jim Ross a fat ass, and then he stunned him.
Stunned him. Stunned JR.
It's disgusting. And the crowd cheered.
Terrible. Terrible. I don't understand it. Why? Why, John?
It was just gross.
See, Austin can stun JR, but Bret Hart can attack a referee and be booed. Why?
These fans are hypocrites, Way.
They are.
And we'd get that later from Jim Ross in a vignette backstage. But first off, we go backstage to not Michael Hayes, but Doc Hendricks interviewing Owen Hart and British Bulldog. Owen was awesome here. He said that Steve Austin should not only be suspended for his actions, but made a case for him being thrown into jail for assault.
Yeah.
And was so convincing that by the end of this promo, I would have turned on Austin and been like, fuck yeah, throw that guy in jail.
He's so convincing, but like, I would have loved to have been the guy behind the camera just watching that, because you know that after the cameras cut, they would be cracking up just at Owen's delivery.
Such a good promo.
Oh, yeah.
Bulldog added in something at the end, but it was less memorable. Yeah. And then we go into a four-way tag match, Way, and boy was the tag division on fire here. We had the Headbangers versus Henry and Vinnius Godwin versus Owen and the Bulldog against Hawk and Animal of the Legion of Doom. This was one of those kind of creepy matches, because three of the eight men have passed away in this match.
Yeah. The Headbangers still around?
Yeah, they're both still alive.
Oh, okay.
This match was booked odd, because you could argue you have two good workers in this match, Owen and the Bulldog, and they were basically left on the apron the entire match while these other fools had a match.
Yeah.
And it was not a good match at all.
Oh, what can you do?
LOD was just, they got disqualified after they used the Godwin's bucket and destroyed them with it.
These idiots.
They were wrestling for the tag titles. Why would you grab a bucket?
Well, their whole promo beforehand was just, if you guys use the bucket on us, well, I don't know. They're just threatened by the bucket. They're paranoid about the bucket, so you can understand why.
I was really brief on my notes here. Right next, I have Godwin's rolled up by Headbangers. Then Austin ran out, stunned Owen Hart. The Headbangers got the fluke win, and the Headbangers were once actually the WWF Tag Team Champions.
This came as a complete shock to me. I do not remember
this. You do not recall this. This was back when Marilyn Manson was really big, because Vince McMahon even alluded to the fact that he watched the MTV Music Video Awards a few nights ago, and Marilyn Manson was wearing a controversial outfit.
Just like the Headbangers.
Exactly.
Great.
We go backstage. Jim Ross is complaining to Sergeant Slaughter. They were kind of teasing a heel turn here with Jim Ross, saying that, I'm not going to put up with this shit, and Vince better be aware of that.
Yeah.
Jim Ross was putting his foot down.
Really, for sure. You can tell by this point they had really understood the formula for building Steve Austin as the man against
he
authority.
He just stunned everybody.
Stuns everybody. People go nuts. That's it.
Then the highlight of the pay-per-view, eh? We went to a tremendous video with Del Wilkes, Patriot, where they had an over-the-shoulder shot where he kept looking back at the camera, like something right out of a 1980s soap opera.
Yeah. They did their best to hide his face as he was talking about his old football career.
Now, I was getting tired at this point, because this was very late in the evening. I was watching this tape. But I woke the fuck up when suddenly I saw Mitsuharu Misawa,
oh my God,
Jun Akiyama, Kenta Kobashi, Dr. Death Steve Williams, all on my screen.
Yeah.
Kiritawe magazine was in there.
Wow.
This was phenomenal. They had gotten footage from All Japan Pro Wrestling to put over the Patriot as this star who had succeeded in Japan and was now coming home to take the WWF Championship from this traitor, Bret Hart.
Perhaps the only time you will ever see Kenta Kobashi or Mitsuharu Misawa on a WWF program.
It was criminal that we cut from Kobashi and Misawa to Sonny, who interviewed the Patriot. I don't know what he said. Then we went to a very young Michael Cole with Bret Hart, and Bret Hart said he was going to stomp the shit out of the Patriot and keep his title.
That's just
how it was going to be. Now, we go Bret Hart and the Patriot for the WWF title.
And cue the Kurt Angle music.
Yes! He came out to the Kurt Angle music. Yeah. And I don't think once people have ever referred to it as the Patriot music when Angle used it. That's how fast the Patriot was out of people's minds. But he once was in a WWF title match on a pay-per-view.
Yes.
This was a pretty good match, I would say. Very, very strong. Bret won with the sharpshooter. That's all I wrote.
Bret Hart was, he's my favorite wrestler, and he really showed it here.
Afterwards, Bret cut a promo where he called everyone in the WWF losers, and then he was specific. Patriot, loser. Shawn Michaels, loser. Mm-hmm. Vader, loser.
All Americans.
Yep, all losers.
Yep.
At that point, I was like, well, pay-per-view is done. WWF title match closes the show. Nope. I forgot. This was mid-97 with Shawn Michaels, who was in the main event. Why was Shawn Michaels in the main event?
All right, but thinking about it, it's the Patriot. It's the Patriot. Would you put the Patriot in the main event ahead of Michaels versus Shawn Michaels?
Well, or, sorry, why Michaels would you put Thunder the Patriot Taker? In a title match to begin with?
Because...
This is the WWF Championship. You protect the title.
Yeah,
Tim Sylvia has gone on last on UFC pay-per-views. Him and Jeff Monson went on last on a pay-per-view with George St. Pierre.
That is true. You know what? That's a question for another time.
Anyway, our main event, Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker. This, I guess, fits in because these two had easily the best WWE match thus far of 2009, and they headlined this pay-per-view in September 97.
And they did not have the best match of 1997.
No, they did not. This match was basically designed to build up to their Hell in a Cell match 3 weeks later.
Yeah, this match was...
It ended with a plancha by The Undertaker out onto all of the heels, including Shawn Michaels, and that's how the pay-per-view ended.
I counted 4 ref bumps in this.
This was ridiculous. Never a disqualification.
4 ref bumps. 3 different referees had to come in.
Earl Hebner was out there. Tim White was out there, I believe. Yeah. I think Jack Doan was out there. I didn't understand. Did they ever say this was no holds barred?
Hold on. There was one point. Mike Chioda was the first ref. How Mike Chioda was ejected from the ring. First of all, he was knocked out by The Undertaker. Then The Undertaker picks him up, tosses him onto Shawn Michaels outside.
Jesus Christ.
That did not call for a DQ.
Well, they were lenient there in these times, right?
Yeah, they were.
So that was ground zero. I was dozing during the main event, and it was a good match, but...
I had to watch this in 2 parts. I actually stopped midway through.
I did
through.
It one sitting.
Yeah.
And,
respect.
Really, this was... I don't know. I'm not going to give this pay-per-view thumbs in the middle.
You're not going to tell people to go out and search for a VHS copy of Ground Zero?
No, I'm not. Go on YouTube, maybe, and watch the minis match.
Watch the features. The features are funny.
The videos were the most enjoyable part of this. So we should do a ranking. Maybe out of 10 we do these reviews. So I'm going to give this one a 3 out of 10. What do you give this?
Well, what's a 10?
A 10 would be, you know,
WrestleMania 17.
When worlds collide.
Okay. What's a 1 then? Like, wow, Women of Wrestling.
No, that's 0.
Okay.
1 would be maybe, you know, standard TNA pay-per-view.
Okay. This I would give perhaps. Well, I have to figure all this out. Am I watching this from the perspective of a 25-year-old me or a 12-year-old?
Let's
me?
Watch with today's standards. It's all much right. more fun to
you
criticize stuff they have no control over. Than
I would give it a 5, just because it was slightly entertaining throughout.
All right,
I couldn't sit through the whole thing though.
And finally, what should we review next week?
I'm
obviously, if anyone emails in, we can change. But right now,
and it's don't just limit it to wrestling pay per views. But if you want to see us or hear us review a wrestling pay per view, do so. But like you know, any wrestling related movies, MMA related movies, there are a bunch of those coming out.
I will say that in about a month, we are going to commemorate the 10-year anniversary of Heroes of Wrestling. And review that.
I look forward to that. Mouth actually...
You've never seen it, right?
Mouth lent me a tape, but it was such bad quality I couldn't watch it, so this will be a first for me.
Excellent. Okay, so next week we'll figure out what we're going to review. We'll try and keep it... You had a good idea about, you know, if WrestleMania is coming up, review a past WrestleMania. Try and keep it monthly themed, maybe.
Sure. So, what's happening next month?
What if we do a WCW pay-per-view? What was it in September? They used to do Fall Brawl. Maybe we found a War Games or something like that.
Yeah.
Sadly, everyone, for when you are emailing in, if it's 89 onwards, I probably have it.
Oh, my God. Well, I actually wrote... Tapes. First of all, my first thought for this whole thing was, like, John, why do you have a VHS copy of...
I don't
house,
know how I got...
Ground
I used,
Zero.
What I would do is, whenever I'd order the pay-per-views, I'd always tape them. Because I'm like, it's a waste to just order something and you only get one viewing out of it.
True.
And it's just added up. And then...
But this was a real copy. Store-bought.
Yeah, I would have... I don't know if it was my brother that bought it or me. I can't remember. But,
you.
Oh, when I was a little kid, dude, because like, they'd never have wrestling tapes and stuff anywhere. Fucking so when man. I would see them, there was one time I went to a Toys R Us.
Yeah.
And I was walking around the store and I found there were 7 WCW pay-per-views on VHS for like $5 each. Went out of my mind.
You bought them all.
Bought them all.
Oh, my. Well, that explains a lot. Explains a lot.
Watched a lot of wrestling, boy. Watched a lot.
Good for you.
We're going to watch them all now. All my collection. We're eventually going to get through. So if you have any suggestions, john@thefightnetwork.com, way@thefightnetwork.com, or go and join the official Ask Away.
No.
What it's called?
This is not Ask Away. We could change the name. We could change the group.
We're not.
We should come up with
Ask Away. That's
no.
Like,
this, you're not asking me anything.
I'm asking you what we should review next
week. No. It should be maybe Review Away.
That's not bad, actually. Review Away.
It's just as bad as anything that's been used with my name.
Review Away. I like it a lot. Okay, we'll talk to you next week on Review Away. Now, wait, as we close off here, you have quite the eclectic music taste, and I think you're going to be our decision maker when it comes to music to end this with.
Man.
And for the first week, could you recommend a good Girl Talk tune to go out with?
Well, yeah. Okay, Girl Talk is, for those who don't know, is sort of a mashup artist. But the thing is, Girl Talk doesn't really have songs. He just has, like, long sets that are, like, 15 minutes long.
Oh, forget that then. What should we go out with?
Well, let's try to relate it to the whole discussion. This is September 11th, John. Is that wrong? Should we not have a song commemorating September 11th?
I don't think there are any songs.
Let's do a song from the new Jay-Z album, The Blueprint 3, called An Empire State of Mind, dedicated to New York. Comes out September 11th. It came out 3 days ago, but it was supposed to come out September 11th.
Yeah, I'm out that Brooklyn, now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow, but I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem, all of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pull me back to that McDonald's, took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus, driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my top. Sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. Nigga, I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely from I made the Yankee hat more famous than the Yankee can. You should know I bleed blue, but I ain't a crypto. But I got a gang of niggas walking with my click though. Welcome to the melting pot. Corners where we selling rock. Africa been by the shit. Home of the hip hop. Yellow cap, gypsy cap, dollar cap, holla back. For foreigners, it ain't fair. They act like they forgot how to act. 8 million stories out there in the naked. City is a pity. Half of y'all won't make it. Me, I got a plug special and I got it made. If Jesus paying LeBron, I'm paying Dwayne Wade. 3 dice CeeLo, 3 card Marley, Labor Day parade, rest in peace Bob Marley, Statue of Liberty, long live the World Trade, long live the King, yo, I'm from the Empire State, that's... welcome to the bright light, baby. Is blinding. Girls need blinders, or they could step out of bounds quick. The sidelines is lined with casualties who sip the life casually, then gradually become worse. Don't fight the apple eve, caught up in the in crowd. Now you're in style, and in the winter gets cold, in vogue with your skin out. City of sin is a pity on a whim. Good girls going bad, the city's filled with them. Mommy took a bus trip, now she got a bust out. Everybody ride her, just like a bus route. Hail Mary to the city, you're a virgin. And Jesus can't save you. Life starts when the church in. Came here for school, graduated to the highlight. Ball players, rap stars, addicted to the limelight. MDMA got you feeling like a champion. The city never sleeps, better slip you an ambient.